Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Disney's most exclusive attraction. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
We're going to talk about Club 33
Damn.
In Disneyland, which is, we're not going to really break any new ground with it because it's been, social media exists.
Yeah.
So I think, for me, Club 33 was always very intriguing because of its exclusivity and kind of little conspiracy theories.
Break a little new ground.
We're definitely going to...
We might solve Disneyland today.
Well... This is also the very first episode where I've developed, I'm going to call it a conspiracy theory, based on my research. This
delicious.
Is the very first time. Yeah, so this is the very first time that's happening, but we are going to talk.
You're dropping, your conspiracy theory drops today.
It does, specifically based on this episode and the research that I've done. Because with these, I think when we discuss places... we like to have some kind of first-hand account with it. And
yeah.
We generally do, and I think that's what might separate us from some other people, even though everyone, they probably do a way better job, and, they're just more organized, and they have
more organized, better research, better
more interesting people, better
funnier,
person, hotter, credit scores.
More resources, better
everything.
Place to record. Yeah,
they just deserve it more. But we do have first-hand experience, and I think if we... don't really have an excuse not to, then we should be like I want to eventually talk about Chateau Marmont, and I've never been there.
I haven't either.
So I feel like we can't talk about it unless we at least attempt to get in there.
Oh, we can get in there.
And
they'll take our money.
From that, I was like, I wanted, and this is a little spoiler, I want to do an episode on the Magic Castle, which I have been to. Have you?
I have not.
I have been, and that's an episode I want to do, but from Magic Castle got me to Club 33, which I have not been to. You have not been to.
Yeah.
And it's because part of it is because it's very, very difficult, like the Magic Castle, to get into. You can't just go. It's expensive. You need to know somebody.
Yeah, there's
a
list.
And there's a list. And so I think, but we've both been to Disney.
Yes.
Disneyland.
We have.
So
I think we could get into Club 33.
If we worked on it, I believe that we could do that. But for what made me really want to do this episode is the fact of the pushback I got in getting some accounts from people, like firsthand accounts. I got a little pushback. So I'm gonna talk about my conspiracy theory behind that. We're gonna get into Club 33 and some of the a little bit of the conspiracy theories that have gone on around Club 33.
Love it.
And then also the lawsuits that have happened around Club 33. So we get a little
pull back that Disney curtain, baby.
Oh
I'm
god, yeah.
Here for it.
Yes. Rebecca is now, we don't get political on here much.
No, we don't get political.
But we have
on here.
A bona fide politician in our midst.
I am an
right?
elected official. I don't mean to brag. I have a volunteer position in the lowest rung of city government. So that happened. That was a big
So what's your official title?
I am a neighborhood councilwoman of District 4 of Echo Park. So yeah, I'm doing, aside from this podcast, I'm doing other things that don't pay me any money.
Yeah,
so
it might cost you
busy.
Money, right?
Yeah.
Just hemorrhaging money.
Busy. Thank you.
But we do discuss a lot of this area on the podcast.
Exactly.
So
I think politics are kind of a part of what we talk about in that it's a lot of what the places are really wrapped up in economics of LA or the place that they're located in. I think it's hard to not talk about that stuff.
You can't have a crime or indiscretion or anything kind of any kind of like value without having some kind of economic or political.
Exactly. And it's not hard to find out what my political beliefs and leanings are.
Right.
But I also think it kind of gets, we're two white people who live in Los Angeles. Like it can get kind of routine to talk about that. But yeah, I was sworn in. We had a big meeting. It was actually a very long meeting, 7 to 11:30 p.m.
Whoa.
Yeah.
When it gets past midnight, you know it's like you get into like Illuminati kind of stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They're okay. Like, we got to cut this because some of us have to be at a secret society meeting in about a half an hour in mid-city and we are timing this poorly. So yeah, it was very fun. We got sworn in like we do. I got a little certificate. We got some swag. I got a t-shirt. I got like a weird like bottle opener thing. I got a little notebook. I was very excited for that. A folder from the city? And
the city's just handing, what are they, just handing out folders now? That's where my tax dollars are going?
Yes, they do. Yes, folders for me.
For bottle openers?
Yeah, for bottle openers, teas, other things like that.
What's going on with the homeless situation? Don't know. Got bottle openers for, comptrollers.
But no, we did. I mean, I also, there was this training that I didn't take before the meeting, so I didn't get to vote on a lot of stuff. But I'm going to take that training this week, and then I'll be able to vote on giving money to homeless, recycling initiatives. They had businesses come in and talk to us about how when they wanted to open their bar, like what their licenses are. So it's really getting in on the ground floor with all that new info.
And now are you going to do any shakedowns or extortion or racketeering?
Yeah. Okay, I am corrupt already.
Yeah.
I can be bought.
Yes.
And I'm joking. If anyone from the council listened to that, I took an oath.
Hold on. You couldn't be bought for $2 a month on Patreon, could you?
Oh, well.
For bonus episodes?
Oh.
At patreon.com/ghosttownpod? I hope not.
Oh, my goodness. Well, $2 a month, that's so low, but you get so much.
Yes.
So let me think about it.
All right. Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I really I'm excited to see what happens and what I can do to help my community, which we've talked about at length in this podcast. And we'll talk about probably more.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, we're back. We're hitting Southern California again. We will be going somewhere else soon.
Yeah.
We've been really hitting Southern California pretty hard, but
we just had our show, as you know, probably
a couple episodes ago, and we're looking to do more. And we would love to do it somewhere that maybe if you feel a place that you're like, oh, this place is very receptive to having live podcasts, especially of what we talk about or podcasts in general, let us know.
Absolutely. And we would love, again, more suggestions of things and places beyond that too. ghosttownpod@gmail, ghosttownpod on Instagram, like hit us up. We're very interested.
Well, somebody's already taking that initiative.
You don't say.
Talking about Sarah Balmont.
Oh,
I'm going to read her email. Yeah. We love getting these.
I live day to day for these.
You know, some of these might end up being a Patreon episode, so you don't know. You'd be immortalized. Imagine being immortalized on a podcast. Imagine
a
second. Can
you wrap your head around that?
Well, hopefully Sarah can, because she's about to be. She's like, hi, I recently started listening to your podcast, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm British, living in Paris, France. So she's...
Oh, my God. She's already so much cooler.
Cool.
Like, we are garbage. So cool. We are nobody.
Yeah.
Does she know that?
We're like an old Del Taco rapper.
And she's like a freshly baked baguette, but from England, but warmed up in Paris, you know?
Oh, love it. She's like, I have a cool, spooky story that you might be interested in.
Hell yes.
I remember as a child, they went on a haunted tour in Edinburgh, full of ghosts in
the
city.
Oh my God. I've also never been there, but I've heard that their tours are the spookiest by far.
And is Edinburgh where they have the Fringe Festival?
Yeah, okay. Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Maybe we'll go there. I don't know.
I would love to go there.
Yeah. Please, if you're listening, Edinburgh, the ghost or otherwise.
Edinburgh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Edinburgh, yeah. No, this is Edinburgh, so this might be
Edinburgh.
Different. This is probably different.
We are
messing this.
We're never going to be famous.
We travel too, and we have no excuses, but ignorance. And the tour took us into this blocked up part of the city that was covered up around the time of the Black Death.
Ooh.
It's called Mary King's Close in Edinburgh.
I'm sorry, Sarah.
Yeah, we're
sorry. We're trying our best to get the
story out. She's spelling it, and her picture of her is very cool because it's in her, like...
Of course, she's so fucking cool.
You can find lots of information online about it. As a whole, Edinburgh, I think I said it right, is full of stories about ghosts, etc. Thought you might find it of interest for your podcast.
Hell yeah.
Kind regards, Sarah Balmont. Hold on. Sent from my iPhone.
What?
Trying to make more out of it than it is. Mary King
Close. She didn't even stop till she got home to send this shit to us.
No, she had to.
She was on the go because she's doing a million
so
cool things.
Interesting.
And she's like, just send them a fucking quick ass email on your phone.
Yeah.
Don't worry about getting to your desktop.
Crossing international lines.
Oh my God.
So we want more emails like that.
Mm-hmm.
Send it to us. You can rate and you give us a rate and review on iTunes.
Yeah.
Maybe can you give us more than 2 stars?
2.5? Hardball?
Honestly, I don't want to push it. I don't want to push. I feel like we're greedy if we ask for more than 2 stars.
I know.
I like when people are like, I have one negative thing to say about this. There's 5 stars to give you. How about 1? I know it's like, but you know what? It's people's opinions. We respect your opinion. You're taking the time.
Listen, we're happy that you're here.
Yeah.
Even if you're not enjoying yourself or you're asleep, we're happy you're here.
Yeah.
Welcome to our home.
Yeah.
Take a shit on the floor.
Yeah. We don't care. But you know what? Uh-huh. We're not very exclusive.
No, we're not. We're the opposite of what we're talking about today.
We will all are welcome here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a free for all. Everyone, come on in. Everything's free. Nothing is of value. Take
nothing
break,
is sacred.
Steal.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
But nobody loves something more, especially in Los Angeles, Southern California, than something mm-hmm. when you're told you cannot go.
Mm-hmm.
It's too exclusive. Well, Club 33. Just the name itself,
yeah,
two like, threes why? Together is what? Like, ooh.
It's a lot of curves, dangerous curves.
I've always been, you know, kind of obsessed, even though I've only been to Disneyland once, and I did that, and I mentioned...
You've only been there once?
I've only been there once, and I went there on a work thing, and I went on the... It was total VIP. Never had to stand online.
Damn.
In fact, I had my own VIP... tour guide ushered me to the front of the line, and then I had an exclusive dinner there. Not at Club 33.
Mm-mm,
I should have honestly pushed for it.
Yeah,
it was one of the restaurants
New
in
New Orleans or some.
It was in a restaurant in, mm-hmm. in Disney, so it was a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
I got a ride home from the Dante who plays
Rufio.
Yeah, so that's that was that experience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was that experience.
What a crazy. It was day for you.
I don't know if I can ever go back and do it like a.
You can.
Like a reg? Like
no,
a.
You can.
Like a.
You will.
I'm not. We.
I'm not
Disney,
a Disney
cult. Right.
Yeah, the cult of Disney. And here's my Disney history, too. So my uncle has worked for Disney for about 30 years at this point. He is a record executive there. And he would get us. We'd go all the time. Like growing up, we would always go to Disney when we came to LA. And so it was this thing. And my parents were like never really into it. And we kind of grew out of it, but he has always worked there. And his kids, like his one of his kids had a birthday at Club 33. He's just been so embedded in Disney culture that it's always been like.
Well, that's the first string we're going to have to try to pull, right?
What?
It's getting him to get us into Club 33.
Yeah. I mean, we can get free passes from him anytime if we want to go. And I used to, and then I worked for Disney on a show, my first game show job, which was. The reboot of Win, Lose, or Draw. Hold your applause.
So you're part, you're a cog in this machine.
I'm a cog in this machine. But I also, I think it's really interesting with Cult of Disney because I've seen a lot around it with my uncle's family. And also just like people here, I don't know if it's the same. I don't think it's the same with people from Wisconsin or different parts of the world. People who live in LA love Disney. It's so counterintuitive more than anyone else. People here on dating apps are always like, I've got my Disney pass. Like they have their pass and they, as like a point of bragging, I'm like, you're a 37-year-old adult male. I don't care.
I don't. Yeah. I personally
don't.
If you have
a Disney monthly pass, they're all people. Are
but
so,
I, you know, what I'm into the fact that they're into some, I'm into people that are into things, whether I, you know, necessarily care or not, you know,
I find Disney culture very interesting, but I also feel like it defines people in a way that I know intellectually why, cause it's the nostalgia and all this stuff, but I have that for a lot of things.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I pay $150 to like monthly pass to like do that or like all this money for merch or like go to the El Capitan, which is owned by Disney now to like see all the Disney movies. I don't know where, like, who had... It's like a recessive gene, where, like, some people have it and some people don't, you know? Anyway.
So that's... Well, we have a goal, and we're going to try to get into Club 33, because we're told we can.
I want to try their meatloaf. They don't have meatloaf there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I want to see a menu.
They have menus online.
Oh,
it's usually, it's pretty, like, high... I don't know if it's... I would say it's, like, French-American. I don't know what I would call it. I'm not, like, a really big foodie,
it's like
but...
fancy. Well, I just wonder, too, and we'll talk about this more, getting into it, where... Because Disney is like all about the curation, the meticulous curation of an image,
and
so,
it is the example
mm-hmm.
of which to do that. And we discuss amusement park culture. You know, we did,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've done like abandoned ones like Nar Dreamland, or mm-hmm. we talked about Action Park, Dismaland.
Exactly. This is the top. This is the king of Disney. Is just the king of doing all the theme park shit the best they can.
Yeah. And
it's the model to live up to for all these things.
Yeah, and the way they kind of preserve that brand mm-hmm. is like
is scary. It's, and impressive.
Yeah, it's and but you know, you used the word cultish. I mean, it is.
It is. Oh my God, it's so and that. In and of itself, I think fascinates both of us
because it doesn't like, it doesn't limit itself. So like you don't have to be a kid. In fact, you definitely if it only relied on children, mm-hmm. they wouldn't be as successful as they were. But you have to appeal to
like Disney Dream. Have you watched Disney Dream Weddings? Disney Fantasy Weddings. It's a show. It was on Freeform.
Okay.
It's just about adults getting married in Disneyland. It's a huge advertisement for them. But these adults and they are all like really nice people. But their dream is to live a Disney fantasy. Disney is playing the long game with everybody.
You know, do you think there's anything, I mean, I'm sure it does exist, but there's anything like of kind of like a sexy kind of cosplay aspect of being like, you know, you see Disney, you know, you see cartoons as a kid. Yeah. They've always been like very sexualized. You know what I mean? I wonder if there's any of that aspect to where it appeals to adults in a way that they might not recognize.
Oh, like a deeply repressed embedded sexuality.
Yeah. Thing. Or just expressing that, you know, and no judgment. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it's
I'm
hot.
Sure.
Listen,
there's
it's
so
hot.
Many, so much Disney porn out there.
You think Disney princesses, they're hot. I mean, you know, they're attractive.
Yeah. They're Prince attractive of 16-year-old cartoon characters.
Yeah, but played by 30-year-old.
30 to be generous.
Yeah.
I would say most of them are in their 40s.
Yeah, but they're talented and it's interesting. And
yeah,
I'm
they
sure
get their best stuff and they're buying up. Disney's buying up everything anyway. I don't know. I mean, we don't know.
Try to buy us up. We are for sale.
Please,
we will do
please,
it in a
please
second.
Do
please,
will
please, please, please,
do
please,
that?
Please,
yeah,
please,
exactly.
Please.
Dear Disney, yes. Pay to Disney every day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But let's talk a little about Club 33, which...
Great.
I feel like if we did this podcast, you know, before there was podcasting, this would be a little more, there'd be a little more to investigate because now, you know, it's even mentioned, you know, with social media, what's going on behind closed doors, you can find that out very easily. So it takes a little bit away from that. But the exclusivity of it has absolutely not changed.
Yeah.
A little background. It's been open since May of 1967. It was created by Walt Disney as a secret venue for, you know, celebrities, politicians, investors. And then, you know, like decorated in a very like, you know, with antiques and a very kind of like.
They're like coming to the theme park, grown white men.
Yeah.
And now have your classy experience.
Yeah. And it's the only place in the park that is that serves alcohol.
Yeah, that's true. And now California Adventure does.
Okay,
so
yeah,
doesn't feel as special in that way, but
yeah,
you know,
it's a place where you can go and be like, hey,
behind closed doors, have a sip of wine.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if people are. I'm sure. I mean, I know people that go. You know, they go and they're like tripping or they're you know sneaking in. Ibuprofen,
they do
like
drug tests before you get into Club 33.
Yeah, you know, they're just like speedballing like ibuprofen.
Oh,
like
oh,
insane.
Whoa.
Yeah, well,
damn,
yeah.
Damn, this is like Studio 54. Club 33. Yeah. Is there a connection? Name and two numbers?
Yeah, exactly. Close
Damn.
Enough. No, I've also read, I've skipped around. There's people that were like, Walt Disney never really wanted to serve alcohol, was kind of pressured into doing that. People speculating on things that really there doesn't seem to be anything to back it up. There's a ton of that out there. There's a ton of conspiracy videos out there. We'll get into that a little bit. Nothing really substantiated, but it is interesting. And Disney got the idea from the corporate promoters at the 1964 to 1965 New York World's Fair. One of the when I want to look and I don't know what you'd call it, where I want to like fetishize photos, it's World's Fairs, which I think, especially in the 60s, of like what the future is going to be like. And the New York World's Fair is in Queens. And there's still like you look, there's still kind of little samples of things that have been left behind, little benches. I mean, it's gone now.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of those structures have stayed up for a while. And I love that. That's the abandoned side of things.
I think of World's Fair and I think of like the 1881 World's. I think of like turn of the century stuff in the Midwest. Where
I think
there's
an, and I'm bad, there's maybe a 1931 or 1933.
Yeah.
But New York World's Fair, 64 to 65, because then.
That feels
you know,
so old to me.
When you think about like what is the. And I feel like a lot of maybe LAX, some of the architecture, that kind of Art Deco futuristic, the Jetsons, like all that kind of like domes and the idea of the future. I just love that look, that kind of. You know, even like Southern California, I think, had that. I went to I don't know where it was, Mocha, about, you know, the homes and the kind of, it's not, I don't know if it's Art Deco of kind of like that futuristic, you know, whether it's like Airstreams, like RVs and stuff like that. So there's a lot of that. And he's, you know, there these VIP lounges that they have, which is now, you know, very any convention, any airport, you know, VIP lounge, like we need to have something exclusive to separate you from the, you know, the coach.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that is so interesting too, about culture and about marketing and about desirability. Like I was talking to this for my job, talking about the theory of scarcity and how powerful it is.
And it absolutely, you know, it's that idea itself. It's like, I don't care what's there. I just need to be there.
Yeah.
And that is a very, because if you're there and you're letting people know you're there, you've just elevated yourself. Even if you've had, you really have no reason other than like, you know, somebody. And I think now it's obviously social media. That's kind of really brought that back up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of dissipated it and heightened it in the same way, which is crazy.
So when they, the New Orleans Square was planned, I was just in New Orleans, New Orleans
Not
Square.
Not the square, just the real New Orleans.
Real New Orleans. Bring I say Orleans, New Orleans when I was looking at this. But so that episode was, you know, the St. Peter House. And if you want to check that out, my experience in New Orleans. But this is a little connection. Yeah, we're making connections here. Yeah, we're doing so many enough episodes. There's a lot of connections. Yeah, like, you know, corporate sponsors, you know, because at that point, I think, you know, now Disney is like, you don't need to sell Disney. Maybe Disney in the 60s, maybe, you know, we still may need sponsors.
I also wonder if Disneyland in the 60s was super expensive or super cheap to go to. I think it was expensive. Like, I think it was still like, you have to be upper middle class to enjoy it.
Yeah, to afford, and and you'd have to also, like, you have to get there.
Yeah.
So if you're not already living within an hour or two from it, like, you have to get there. So it was exclusively usually, you know, for corporate sponsors, industry people when it opened in June 15th, 1967, which is 6 months after Disney died, then they started offering to individuals. So it was pretty quick, soon after he, and I, listen, is there, was he like, no, I want to really keep this exclusive, or is it like, hey, we need to kind of
make more money off of this.
Make more money off it. I don't know what he co-signed. People are saying he didn't co-sign things. And the name Club 33.
Yeah. What's that all about?
It, well, it's the address, on which, it's, of which the, like in the New Orleans Square, it's just, it's 33. It's 33.
Some crazy numerology.
No. Well, like, there is theories. 33 Royal Street in the New Orleans Square.
Okay.
Some people attribute it to, which I thought, what in my mind was, is that Disney's alleged association with Freemasonry.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That has also been, because they were like, oh, Disney's a 33rd level of Freemason. Okay. But, and again, I'm not an expert in Freemason. This is a very complicated, I think, and difficult thing to kind of really just explain in a nuanced way. But I think there's only three levels of Freemasonry, though. That's what I'm saying. So the 33rd, and there's, you know, I was like, let me listen to some of these conspiracy theories. He's like, he was a 33rd Freemason. That is just not a thing. It's just your people have said that, so you're taking that, which sounds right when you don't understand the kind of this, like, you know, Masonic lodges. And but he was he was not a Freemason. Never was a Freemason. He was part of like this kind of subsect, and the name eludes me. De Molloy. It was for. I don't know what if you attribute to like something like Boy Scouts or something like that. It was for youth that was. Co-signed by a Masonic lodge, but that was his only real kind of. So people took that,
that's kind of bullshit.
Most people are like, he was never a Freemason. That is a absolute.
You're just trying to make these connections. That I hate that more than anything. Where it's just like trying to make this connection. Yeah. It's like there's other weird shit about this. We don't have to also, dwell on this.
I think there's like an address 1313 Anaheim Way was is Disney's address or something like that. So there's, you know, making connections on that note, but basically it's a lounge restaurant. They serve it's French and New American food, I guess, is like the taste. So what is that, like a, like, what do you call it, fusion? I don't know if it's like a fusion or
fusion. I mean,
a duck.
It's like all the mother sauces and like
a steak.
And that I hate because I think I'm wrong when I think this, but I'm just like, oh, of course. What's a fancy meal look like in Disneyland? Of course, it's like a steak with
like
mashed potatoes and like the crudité and like you know, like a shrimp cocktail and like.
And then they'll have like, I think like, you know, and duck confit? Like that kind of thing. That seems like to be like the
It just feels like it's like generic fancy food. I know, I'm sure the food is great, but it also feels like, we get it. It's like a nice cut of fish or a nice cut of meat and like nice fancy stuff.
What I find, I guess it always changes. I don't have like a definitive answer to this, but it's around here. It's the initiation fee.
Oh, God.
And then the membership fee.
Okay.
So.
We should ask my uncle.
Well, yeah. That's probably what I. But we will, you know, we're going to do a follow-up on this.
But also, he works for Disney, so I'm not even sure how much he pays to be a part of it.
That there's the initiation fee. The most current one that I found, and if I'm mistaken, please.
Barrage of tweets.
Yes. Please. Threaten us.
Yeah. Get at us with burning. Torches at my door. You know where I live in Echo Park. I'm your councilwoman.
Hello. Matter where you are, you're a councilwoman.
I answer to you.
That the initiation fee is $50,000.
Should we take a break?
Let's take.
I need to gather myself again.
Yeah. Have you gathered yourself or no? It's still a lot of money.
I'm still a mess. Okay. Yeah. God.
It's $50,000. Now, that doesn't mean that. You stop paying money because there's a annual membership fee of $15,000.
Where does it stop? How good are these baked potatoes?
It does that because, the and I looked up, like honestly, I looked up on Yelp how much people were paying for a plate. It seemed to be about $100 to $150 for a person, which I totally get.
But I don't have to pay a membership to Providence to like a Michelin star. You don't ever like the model of this. It's like Costco meets. Like fine dining meets theme park,
and
they can do whatever they want.
Even if you have the money, that doesn't mean
what?
That you get a no, because I think they try to limit the amount of members. I saw a number, like, and I don't know what the number is. If is it an endless number, or it's like there's only at one time like 500 members.
Okay.
And I don't know how. Again, I don't know how.
It's like. But also, what does that say about you that you want so badly? I mean, again, it speaks to all the things we've just talked about. But, like, you are rich-ish. You love Disney, and you want to dine and drink in Disney. And so you're waiting on this wait list to give them even more money that you've probably already given them to be a part of this thing.
The wait list? Again, these numbers are just my research, and I've looked at a couple of different places, and the one that I came up with, 1 to 14 years. You got to do it when you're born.
Yeah, you have to
come out of the womb.
Young parents,
yeah.
If you think your kid's going to be a rich Disney fan who likes nice food, I guess get them signed up.
The weirdest part is how you like get on the waiting list, Eventbrite. Very, they kind of went a different direction.
Yeah, it's
very easy.
Interesting.
You have to put interested on a Facebook post.
You don't have to commit, but you have to say interested.
Yeah. The restaurant is Le Grand Salon.
It's like sounds fake. It's just like sounds so fucking chintzy.
Their newly renovated lounge is Le Salon Nouveau, which is the translation. I don't speak French.
The new salon.
We don't know. We'll
the
never.
It's the new salon.
We'll never know.
The new salon.
It's
the new
it's
room.
Out there.
I guess salon is
like,
room too.
Who
okay,
knows?
Yeah,
we'll
right,
never know.
Right.
We'll find out.
Got it.
Now, I don't know if, like, and I've read some things that you get, and I don't know how true this, because there's so many, like, websites out there that kind of break it down, and I don't know if people are, like, saying this is true or it's a lie, that you receive complimentary access to Disney parks, early admission,
God,
ballet,
I would hope so.
6 fast passes a day. You can join the Skipper in the Wheelhouse on the Mark Twain and Passage on the in the presidential car, Lily Bell. And
it's just,
again,
like, such a disconnect between, like, okay, you want this, like, highly exclusive elitist experience, but you also get to go on the submarines.
Yeah.
You know, like drive a go-kart after you have your $400 bottle of wine.
Yeah.
It is so, like, and obviously you can tell how I feel about Disney through a lot of this. It's just, my brain, I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
Really.
So there has been, oh, you know what I'm going to get into first before I get into some of the lawsuits around it is my, I mentioned my conspiracy theory.
Yes.
So what I did was, I live in Southern California. I know people that are really huge fans of Disney. You know, they really, they, you know, say they're part of the cult of Disney, but they're, they just enjoy it. They celebrate it. And I was like, great, I'll just hit them up. I contacted seven different people. All seven people. One person was a connection.
The same person.
Yeah. They were all catfishes. They were just like, send me money. I think you're handsome. And I was like, okay. I
mean, gotta get my answers.
Yeah. One person connected me to like their sister or something. Just the way you were like, oh, my uncle. So everyone was kind enough to respond to me initially. Yeah, yeah. I'm, I've been to Club 33, you know. Not one of them actually gave me any information. Some of them were like, oh, what are you looking for? And I was like, literally anything. I just wanted something that wasn't me. And I don't care. It's just like the steak was good.
Scallops.
Or like, oh, there was a shrine to whatever. Like if Marilyn Monroe sat here.
Secret, eyes wide shut, anything. Sex cult in the back.
Well, I was, it's like, what was the sex cult like? Like
yeah,
was
you asked them all the hard-hitting questions right off the bat.
Like the sex cult.
You're a journalist. Yeah, yeah.
But all, you know, some, and people got back to me. And what is the reality? People are busy, not interested. They didn't have anything to really share. That's the reality.
Yeah,
that's what really happened. Because you know, people are they're busy. I totally get it. Or they just didn't feel like had anything to share. Didn't care. But what is my thing is a my theory and conspiracy theory is that all of these people went to this thing that is exclusive, and they there's something. And again, this is probably absolutely not true, but that they felt like I was part of this exclusive experience. I don't want to share it.
Yes.
And that also might be, and if that's true, like I respect people's, you know, privacy. Cause I always said, I was like, it could be anonymous too in case they just don't want to talk about that. But I figured like some people are like really love Disney and wouldn't mind sharing a sentence. And maybe I also wasn't clear on what I was looking for. I know it could be a little, you know, a little bit vague. But and people get back to me at different times. One person actually was like, "Oh, my sister is has been there, and you know, went and contacted them because they were there, but they couldn't really remember." So it wasn't really like sorry, wasn't pushback, but the bottom line is, no one shared their experience in any way, big or small. And then to my thing is like, you know, that either thing was like, I don't want to. If I do that, then I'm taking something that was exclusive to me, and I'm kind of sullying it by sharing it. And again, this is completely unfounded, but it is the fact is nobody did share it.
It's up, and
to my mind is like, is there something kind of psychological with that? Because I, you know, like the Magic Castle. Let's say that's the same thing because it is a similar thing. Like to get in there is like you need to,
you need to know somebody or be
part of the
story to history, right?
And Club 33 is like, you know, you need to know a member, and they limit the amount of you know, guests and stuff like that. So that's kind of like what I took from that, and I don't know how true that is. Maybe other people that have gone there might be like, I don't, because with social media, it's like it's not hard to find a photo.
No.
Changed, but
I bet. I mean, when I think about this and I think about exclusivity, I bet they might be like hint, like in a way, like priming, you know, where it's like you go into this door that looks like nothing. Because I remember taking a photo of it last time I was at Disney.
Pretty nondescript, right?
Yeah, it's just like a little placard on a door, essentially. Going in, I'm sure there's like, you know, an elevator that takes you to this thing. You have a butler checking you in. Like, there's all these thresholds of like making it seem like even. By the time you even get seated, you're like, oh my God,
this is an experience,
special, and this is for me and for me only.
And I absolutely get that. And I almost wish somebody would have said that.
You know what? I am going to see my uncle tonight for my
Because I would love to, well, also see if we can get in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to talk to him about it. I'm going to get us a sound clip.
Okay.
Maybe he will say, but if he didn't say, I'm not going to tell him anything about what we talk about here.
Right, yeah.
But I wonder if he will be like, yeah, it's dinner, it's good, and that's it. Or be like,
to get stonewalled or not? Because we do. We I don't know. People don't realize this. we do our own, you know, the research we can do, but we also pry a little bit, or we get, you know, stonewalled a lot of times. People don't want to talk about it, or they don't want to answer, or they're just not interested.
You're nobody's.
Exactly. And I totally get that.
Where's the money? I'll talk if you pay. And we're like, we can't pay you.
And I absolutely respect that. But that happens a lot with us.
Definitely.
We're not just... We either had to have firsthand experience, and if we don't have the firsthand experience, or, you know, also in addition to, we do try to do, at least try to get something that you can't find on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, we're trying. That's, again, if you're considering being a part of Club 33 and you have a bunch of money to spare, maybe send some. I'll make a club for you.
Yeah.
I'll put a placard on a door, and you can come in, and I'll make some soup.
Yeah.
And pour you some wine.
Yeah.
And I'll give you 6 passes to. Well, we'll get there when we
maybe one of your stand-up shows.
Yeah, 6 free tickets. 6, 12. How about 12 free tickets?
Yeah, please, all
if
of
you
them.
Just cut some of that off and give it to our Patreon.
Yeah.
You know?
Why not? Come on.
Why not?
Hello. So there's been some lawsuits I feel like with the exclusivity of it, and I don't know if it's, you know, I'm sure, you know, Disney, I have some theories with this that do they want to free up, if there's a limit to the amount of people that could be a member, do they want to free up some of those memberships to get new people in there? Because essentially you've already, I mean, if you're getting annual money, but do they want to get those big ticket initiation fees? Are they kicking people out for good reason or not good reason in order to do that?
I bet you have some insight into that.
I have a little bit of insight. I have no proof of it.
Yeah.
But also it's listen, you know, if there's rules, you have to respect them. I get that. But also Disney's not a nonprofit.
No.
There's a reason they are it's a beloved and ruthless organization.
Yeah,
cutthroat. Absolutely ruthless
Non-stop.
Organization. And you know, in my people are like the satanic imagery in Disney. And listen, I'm sure things are rooted in some nefarious kind. It has to be like anything like big and corporate, whether it's political or whatever, it has to be a little something somewhere, you know, whether it's, you know, Disney's an anti-Semite or whatever.
That's rooted in reality.
He's cryogenically frozen.
Yeah, frozen, which I don't think is true, right? Bits of his body are frozen. I don't know.
Like, who are we to say? I haven't seen it not frozen.
That's true. You haven't
or
seen
frozen.
A thawed Disney.
No,
that's true.
So just to keep, you know, because I know people are, they are kind of speculation and interest that, you know, you want to keep that kind of alive for whatever reason, and we respect that. But an Arizona couple who joined Club 33 in 2012, they sued the theme park. They revoked their membership because, you know, everything's alleged from this point forward. Speaking out about bullying and harassment of other members at the club.
What?
There are these lockers, like high school style, and they were shoving people. No, I'm just kidding. They were shoving people.
I bought it all. I was like, why would they have those? That seems mean.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, wow, you really over-buttered that bread.
Yeah.
Newbie. And then shoved it into a locker.
Dude, you don't even know where that fork goes to what.
And they bullied. Yeah. So I don't know what that actually entails.
Bullied.
Now, Disneyland rejected the allegations. Can you believe that?
Wow,
they were like, that was us. Of course.
Yeah, they were like, this, but not even that, like, this doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What Club 33? What Disneyland?
Huh?
Yeah.
Arizona? That doesn't exist.
Scott and Diana Anderson? Never heard of them.
No.
So they said that Scott and Diana were kicked out because they had misbehaved.
Oh, whose story do you believe? A giant mass corporation or a nice Arizona couple?
I mean, they are from Arizona. Does that mean anything? I don't know if that's even a connotation.
Arizona is like the Indiana of the West.
Yeah. But we'd love to do a podcast there live because we love our Arizona people.
We love Indiana. Well, that's, we love all of them.
Yeah,
we love
all,
Indiana.
Yeah.
That's the best.
It's all
the
best.
You know what that means to me.
Yeah.
You don't know why I said that.
Or maybe change our minds. Have us there.
Why not?
So, and I don't know what like misbehave. I mean, listen, if there's alcohol being served. And now I'm going to stick up for the side of Disneyland just to play fair. And both sides, when you're spending that amount of money to be that exclusive, what kind of person are you that is that a tell as a person? And also, if you do spend that money, what do you think that entitles you?
Exactly.
So there's a certain amount of entitlement all around. Now, I'm trying to, you know.
I just think back on my one area of exclusivity, which is my Costco membership. And listen, every time I give them my receipt to check off the things and they look in my cart and they see the things, I am livid.
Yeah.
But I have paid a price to be a part of their system and to get those sweet discounts in LaCroix.
I mean, that toilet paper, you know.
You know, you get a lot of it. I'm a single woman. I have a lot of paper goods in this apartment yeah. as we speak.
And a bunch of tiny flat screen TVs. I feel like this is like, you buy a lot of tiny flat screen TVs there. I guess Scott and Diana Anderson head a consulting company in Arizona. They claim the lawsuit, the problems began in July 2016. They've been a member since 2012. Mm-hmm. They had a new general manager, Luke Stedman. Mm.
Luke. Lucky Luke Stedman.
Stedman. He took over, and the suit alleges that Stedman let favorite members bully and harass other members and staffers.
Oh.
Can
I bully that person? And Stedman's like, just hang on a second. I just gotta just get these drinks out. He's like, can I bully that person? Yeah, and it's like,
Luke, I want to bully him.
Joe, 1 minute. I just need to get these mozzarella sticks out. And they're like, come on. They're about to leave. I just need to bully a little bit of them. Yeah. It's like, fine, go.
Yeah, do it. The couple said in the suit that Stedman falsely accused them of videotaping a performance in the club against club rules because they do have performances.
Stedman.
Yeah.
Performances. They have... Like, who would perform at Club 33? Is it like a jazz?
I think like Imagine Dragons had one of their first
vocals. Yeah, Avicii?
Damn. Well, come on, Avicii's had a rough go.
It's a good gig.
It's a good gig, but you know what I mean? He's had Avicii, I think, like, was so, like, had, like, his stomach was, like, and again, I have no idea, but was, like, I remember, like, he was so stressed out. Like, he just was such a workaholic, whatever, that is, like, the lining of his stomach was just completely torn apart. Mm. Like, he had a tough. It's against
maybe
the rules.
Maybe should we have our first live show in Club 33?
Yeah, how much are they going to pay us, though?
Yeah. Fine. That's a no.
Yeah, so that's a no.
Rejected. We rejected you, Disney.
In September 2017, the lawsuit said that Scott Anderson had a medical episode at Disney California Adventure that made him disoriented and acutely ill. According to the suit, Stedman accused Anderson of being intoxicated. Possible.
Mm. What, one place they serve alcohol in a giant theme park for adults?
Well, maybe, you know.
I don't know. I don't buy it.
If you're like, you know, I'm Scott Anderson. I'm Diana Anderson. We have a consulting company in Arizona.
Yeah, not
and we're members
Luke
of your
Stedman's watch.
Yeah. So did we have to embezzle? to pay for this, to make us appear to be like, listen, you know, of course you're going to hire us. We're members of Club 33.
Yeah.
You little tiny piece of garbage.
Don't even try.
I don't really have like a ton of love for, you know, the rich and powerful. But you know what? Listen, you've earned your money. You've worked hard. There's rule, all that kind of stuff. It's all fair play. And I totally get that. So the following month, the couple were banned from all private lounges at Disney parks, and their membership of Club 33 was terminated, according to the suit.
They can't even go into just a regular plebeian private lounge.
Like the
tiki room.
They can't even go to a Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, that's not a part of Disney. Does it extend to their life?
Is it? Isn't it?
Mice.
The couple contend their membership was revoked because they had been complaining to Stedman about harassment. So they were whistleblowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were trying to stand up for themselves.
They got, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they couldn't go.
Diana Stedman. Do you know who my husband is?
Anderson. Scott? You're getting them all confused.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what? Luke Stedman.
God, get the cast of characters right.
It's like, I'm Diana Anderson. Do you know my husband, Scott Anderson? We have a consulting company.
In Arizona.
Where in Arizona? Doesn't matter.
No need.
It covers the
That's
whole
state. That's bullying.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I'd love to see their Facebook posts online about this.
Oh, Jesus. All caps.
We covered a lot of, you know, you pretty much get the gist of Club 33. We're not going to get anything more, but I'm going to talk about, Joey Cosgrove now. Joseph Cosgrove, who's now 87, mm-hmm. a huge Disney fan.
Okay. Rabid.
He wrote a book he wrote a book about Disney, and he was one of the first members of Club 33 after its opening.
Wow.
How did they repay him? January 1st, 2005, Cosgrove's membership was terminated.
Terminated is such a harsh, it's not even like expired or like revoked. Terminated. Mm-hmm. Like the Terminator.
Yeah. They say Luke Stedman was like the Terminator.
Oh, that
he's
guy
like,
is
he's
fucking,
like, you won't be back.
That's what he said. Breaks balls, yeah. You know?
He filed suit in April 2013. I mean, he's been a member for like 40 years, 50. Yeah. Imagine that. Like the picture of him online, he's got this 33 jacket on. He's in his 80s.
Buy a jacket? Damn.
Yeah. So he filed suit.
I like how people care enough to get legal with it, too. Isn't that crazy?
I mean, listen.
People loved it. I want to understand it. Can someone please, if you're listening to this, still listening to this,
yes.
Like, please, can you just talk to me about, like, what it is? Like,
yeah,
what
we
want to
know. Yeah.
I'm curious because I love conspiracies. I love cultural phenomena. But for some reason, I can't wrap my head around Disney stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a settlement with Disney. There was a trial set. And then... yeah, they eventually settled, and then I guess his wife, Joseph Cosgrove's wife, said that she was precluded from commenting about the lawsuit for confidentiality agreement. So they settled.
They settled out of court for how much do you think? What happened in there?
At least a grand.
What happened in there?
Well, you know, the thing is, it's also a matter of, like, I've given my life. I wrote a book on Disney.
Yeah.
How do, and like,
I'm
why?
In this, yeah.
And listen, the reasons of kicking him out.
Yeah. Got too close.
I think I'm not saying the reasons these people were terminated and probably not the only ones were not founded.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing. It's like, Disney is Disney, but the people that are members there are that money. Like, they make that Disney Club 33 money.
Yeah, it's the thing too, and it's like clear that guy was a fan of Disney. I don't know. Disney is not Disney without the rabid fans too.
So Cosgrove's wife Janet was like, "He's like, we're on a gag order by them."
Whoa,
the word gag order makes it very
Disney book
sexy.
Writing career is
yeah.
over. Yeah.
You know, she said, they were like, "Oh, are you gonna come back?" And they're like, "No."
No.
It's like, damn.
Sweet couple.
Well, I mean, I guess like. I mean, I don't know
what?
How you feel if it's such a big part of your life.
Because
it's the only. It's not like I'll go to
crazy.
Another. I'll go to another amusement park.
No,
it's this or nothing.
This is so vague. It's driving me crazy though.
So why? I guess the reason why Cosgrove did specifically, he repeatedly transferred and sold their membership privileges. So I guess maybe, I don't know how it works.
Ooh,
you get passes,
a sweet buck on the side.
Yes. Yeah, so he was sub. I guess subletting in a sense.
An entrepreneur.
Yeah, which is a clear violation of membership, which I get.
So I guess maybe my uncle can't get us in.
Well, no. He thinks your uncle can't sell you. Like, if he's like, oh, I get two passes
that's
a year.
That's good, because I have no money.
Right.
Yeah.
He can't sell it to you. He can have you as a guest.
Okay.
Like the Magic Castle, if you're a guest of a member, mm-hmm. Which is another episode we're going to do, by the way, because I did
go
there.
Yeah.
And it was a first date.
Oh, my God. Jason with a first date story?
Yeah.
I'll see it when I
at Magic Castle?
I'll
like,
believe it when I see it.
Like, not a bad first date.
And I don't think everyone has to do this, but even I got invited there. I've been invited there 4 times at this point. But with parking and dinner and all of that, it's still just like,
and you have to dress up. You can't go without,
$200 later, I guess I'm having fun. I know.
Yeah. So, they want to preserve the integrity of the membership, which I totally understand. Mm-hmm. Now, this is also alleged. He was unilaterally, unceremoniously, and abruptly terminated despite his 45 years as a loyal club member. He was within the ambit of the protections provided by California's financial elder abuse laws.
Whoa.
They went strong on ageism, I guess, or something like that.
I'm
sure he felt some kind of entitlement.
You want young, hot people in Club 33 that can afford it.
Yeah. And I don't know how old you have
it's
to be to
empty
like.
In
yeah.
There, I
yeah.
Bet.
He gave someone tickets that were. He gave someone Club 33 tickets that were subsequently sold at a charity auction.
Okay. Can't catch wind of it. You got to keep that low key.
And listen, if it's sold for charity, I don't know. The charity could be some awful like more guns in children's hands charity too.
Like,
I don't know.
It's like Disney is affiliated with that.
Exactly,
and I do get that. I do,
and again, I don't want to come off like where people listen. It's like, well, rules are rules, and you're absolutely right. I guess the lawsuit also says they leaned heavy into the elder, the kind of the ageism. Cosgrove was having his contractual and personal rights trammeled. Don't know what the word means. By new generation of millennials trying to convert Club 33 into a billionaire's exclusive domain.
Whoa, this seems like a fire fest in the making.
Yeah, a little bit like kind of. Here's the thing: like the money is still money, and if he was still, even though you're a long time. Not everyone there could be 80 years old, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
people die out and then new people get rich, right?
It can't stay in business. It's like Disney just wants like kids running around.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of kids running around. Make their money on generations,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. And then like heralding in the next one.
But maybe they don't, and maybe the kind of like thought is like, we don't want it just to be like an old fogey place. We want, and I don't know what the spending habits are. And again, I'm speaking like economically, what are the spending habits of somebody who's, I'll say 30, as far as the spending habits of somebody who says 80, maybe a 30-year-old goes in there and they get, they just buy like the most inexpensive thing. Whereas somebody who's older will be buying a lot of drinks. And again,
you're like a Haley Baldwin and you're like shots all around for all of Club 33. Then you're like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we want to go. Now I really want to go. Now it's like a mission to go.
I'm going to ask my uncle about this. We're going to have a little follow up.
Yeah, and then we will. You'll find out soon. We'll get some information.
Exactly, and as it shows, we don't discuss this before, and I'm learning this in real time, right along with you.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of Ghost Town, baby.
What
fresh, funky
roller coaster of a ride.